Eddie, the Collegiate Freshman. Chapter 7. The Resolution, Part 2. The end of the meet brings the award ceremony, which Coach Braun and the rest of the coaching staff are looking forward to. Many of the other 11 divisional teams are curious to find out more about some of the newer runners dominating today's meet. The meet announcer introduces today's officials and recognizes the coaches and athletes for their participation today. After the administrative announcements are out of the way, the presentation of the awards then begins. In the men's events, Eddie, with a stellar performance, claims the gold medal in the 100-yard dash. Mark takes the silver medal, with a time representing the best run of his life. In the 220-yard dash, Eddie marginally beat out Mark, taking the gold medal. Mark takes the silver medal, and Hoffer takes the bronze. Braden kicked ass in the 440-yard dash, adding another gold medal to his growing collection. Johnson, having an excellent day, takes the silver medal in the 440-yard dash. In the 880-yard run, Mitchell takes the gold medal, Akinmola takes the silver medal, and Stone takes the bronze. In the mile, as in the 880-yard run, Mitchell takes the gold medal, Akinmola takes the silver medal, and Stone takes the bronze medal. In the men's relay events, Eddie, Mark, Johnson, and Braden take the gold medal in the mile medley relay and in the 4x440 relay, setting a divisional record in both events. Mitchell, Akinmola, Stone, and Johnson take the gold medal in the 4x880 relay, also setting a divisional record. In the men's field events, Bobby B. wins the gold medal in the shot put. From the looks of things, Bobby B. will be undefeated in the years to come. Pete Mendenhall, who has improved tremendously after working with Bobby B., takes home the bronze medal in the shot put. And, in the upset of the day, Eddie takes home the gold medal in the discus. While the awards are distributed, President Caldwell mentions to Dr. Karakova, "I had no idea our track team was this skilled." Dr. Karakova informs President Caldwell, "Well, until recently, we weren't. Last year, I believe we won 8 gold medals and 2 silver medals. And, if I am not mistaken, 6 runners were responsible for those medals." President Caldwell suggests, with a team of this caliber, we should be investigating the possibility of expansion. Expansion, from the university's perspective, is finding more scholarship money and searching for more exemplary athletes. Hinting at the rift caused by Dean Grimsby, Dr. Karakova mentions, "Hopefully, Dr. Braun will be able to keep the team together for the next year. I know he's doing his best to make that happen." President Caldwell replies, "I'll just charge Dean Grimsby with that task. And after today's performance, I think I'll be attending a few more meets in the future." Dean Grimsby, of course, overheard every word of the conversation between President Caldwell and Dr. Karakova. The women's events also bring good news. In a repeat performance of last year, Kathy wins the gold medal and Paula wins the silver medal in the 100-yard dash. In the 220-yard dash, Paula wins the gold medal and Kathy wins the silver medal. As expected, Barbara wins the gold medal in the 880-yard run and in the mile. Kathy, Paula, Erica, and Barbara take the gold medal in the mile medley relay. Many other of the university's team members walk away with medals in their events. Using the new training protocols introduced this year, the team is stronger than it ever has been. In news from some of the competitors' teams, Nakla Brocklin's only medal is the bronze in the men's 100-yard dash. He is not the least bit happy, and neither is his coach. Nakla Brocklin's university paid a lot of money for him, and he has not been delivering as expected. But that is because of the competition. Had Nakla Brocklin stayed at his other college, he might still be winning. In the women's events, Adriana won the bronze medal in the women's 100-yard dash and is ecstatic. And Dwayne Harris, who ran against Eddie and the tribe in high school, walks away with nothing today. As they are about ready to pack up and head inside, a few unexpected visitors come down from the stands to congratulate the team. Being the first to see them, Kathy yells out, "Hey, I didn't know you guys were going to be here. Mark saw you guys up in the stands right before the 4x440 relay." Mr. Fraser tells Kathy, "We decided late Friday to come to the meet. You guys were clocking out there." Kathy asks, "Did you see Eddie's 100-yard dash?" Mr. Fraser exclaims, "I couldn't believe what I was seeing. All of you guys were awesome." Seeing Mr. Fraser, Mrs. Fraser, Mr. Zunday, and Miss Amherst, the entire tribe walks over to say hello. The tribe's former coaches greet everyone with a high five, fist bump, and a few hugs. Mr. Fraser tells Braden, "I saw your ass-kicking quarter mile. I had my watch on you. You were clocking." Braden exclaims, "We kicked every ass out there on the track today. Especially in the 4x440. Did you see that one?" Mr. Fraser replies, "With you guys, that was always the main event. You always won." The tribe, and their current and former coaches, extends the celebration as a few new introductions are made. Dr. Karakova, seeing the high school coaching staff, tells President Caldwell and Provost Layton, "If you have a minute, there's someone here I'd like you to meet, if you have the time." President Caldwell replies, "Sure. I'd love to." Dr. Karakova, President Caldwell, Provost Layton, and a few other administrators walk over to join the celebration. They are followed by Dean Grimsby, who certainly doesn't want to miss anything should his name come up. Mr. Rosenberg, the Director of Admissions, who hasn't spoken to the tribe since their admissions meeting, also joins the group. As the administrators walk up, Kathy gives her dad a hug and asks, "Did you see me run?" Kathy's father replies, "I think that was the fastest you've ever run." Kathy, who has everyone's statistics in her head, including her own, replies, "It was. And it was Paula's best too." Dr. Karakova takes a look at Kathy's medals, telling her, "You did really well today. I'm very proud of you." Kathy's mother takes a look at Kathy's medals and tells her, "You did great today." Kathy's father tells Kathy, "I'd like you to meet President Joseph Caldwell and Provost Athena Layton." Kathy tells them, "Wow. It's so awesome to meet you guys." Provost Layton tells Kathy, "Congratulations. You clearly had an awesome meet today." President Caldwell tells Kathy, "I've heard so much about you over the years. It's a pleasure to meet you again." Kathy and President Caldwell have met a long time ago when Kathy was a lot younger and President Caldwell was a professor. Kathy was too young at the time to remember. After a short conversation with his daughter, Dr. Karakova moves on, introducing the university administrators to the Northside High School coaching staff. Dr. Karakova tells Dr. Zunday, "Dr. Zunday, it's been a while." Dr. Zunday replies, "It has. About a year, I think. We thought we'd drop by and see how impressive the team is now. And I can certainly say, they are quite impressive." Dr. Karakova introduces everyone to each other, specifically wanting President Caldwell to meet Mr. Fraser and Dr. Zunday. Mr. Fraser and Dr. Zunday are the two people most responsible for developing the talent that the university has today. The team, the coaching staff, the high school coaches, and the administrators congregate around the team bench, as no one wants to be left out of what appears to be a very important gathering. Once everyone has been introduced, surprising everyone, Mr. Fraser tells Provost Layton, "Athena, it's simple. All you have to do is put one foot in front of the other faster than the other girl." Provost Layton exclaims, "I did. But her legs are a lot longer than mine." Mr. Fraser gives Provost Layton a hug, leaving everyone to wonder what that exchange was all about. Mrs. Fraser, hearing the famous words, exclaims, "Athena. Athena. I can't believe it. Athena exclaims, Dawn. It's been forever. Mr. Fraser's wife, Dawn, also gives Athena a hug. It is clear to everyone that Dawn and Athena knew each other quite well at one time. Provost Layton, losing her administrative demeanor, cheerfully tells everyone around, I'm sure all of you are wondering what that was all about. George and I were at the Olympic tryouts many years ago. Unfortunately, we both ended up being alternates. Our event was the 100-meter dash. During tryouts, after one race, George told me, Athena, it's simple. All you have to do is put one foot in front of the other faster than the other girl. And I responded, I did. But her legs are a lot longer than mine. Well, the other girl was over 6 feet tall. And I'm only 5 feet, 8 inches. I'll never forget when George said that. The group standing around clearly enjoyed hearing Provost Layton's story. Provost Layton's secret is now out. A select few of the administrators knew about her past track and field accomplishments, but it is not common knowledge around the university. Provost Layton turns to Kathy and tells her, Congratulations again. You broke my university record in the 100-yard dash today. Kathy replies, Wow. I didn't know you held the record. Provost Layton replies, Actually, I can't believe that my record stood for so long. While other conversations begin, Kathy has a long conversation with Provost Layton. Dr. Bonomo, the field events coach, along with Dr. Amherst and Dr. Zunde, get into an in-depth technical discussion about the field implements. Dr. Bonomo is quite impressed at the extensive analysis done by Dr. Amherst to evaluate the optimum release angle of the field implements. Dr. Bonomo is quick to realize that Dr. Amherst's work at the high school is far beyond anything that the university team currently does. Wanting to learn more, Dr. Bonomo exchanges contact information with Dr. Amherst and plans to talk with her sometime in the near future. It is clear, however, from the discussion, that Dr. Bonomo and Dr. Zunde have known each other for a very long time. While Dr. Bonomo is gaining insight into improving the performance of the field athletes, Dean Grimsby steps off to the side, talking with Dr. Paxton. Dean Grimsby asks Dr. Paxton to find a place for McCutcheon on the distance team. Apparently, McCutcheon's father gives a lot of money to the school, so finding a place for McCutcheon seems to be somewhat important to the administration. Dr. Paxton informs Dean Grimsby that he will do his best to accomplish that goal. Dr. Paxton also makes Dean Grimsby aware that there are now several top-notch distance runners on the team. But, somehow, the dean already knew that. Mr. Rosenberg strikes up a conversation with Mark and Bobby B., neither of whom attends classes. Instead, they take special projects and independent study courses. Mr. Rosenberg is very happy to see that Mark's and Bobby B.'s performance is worthy of the special arrangements they've received. Mr. Rosenberg jokingly asks Mark and Bobby B., So, how are your classes going? Bobby B. replies, Really good. I hit the gym for 1 or 2 hours a day after practice. Mr. Rosenberg informs Bobby B., And Mark, it sounds like we'll have to give you guys credit for a few more physical education classes. I'll make a note of that. Since Mark and Bobby B. put in the work, they might as well get the class credit. The party continues for about a half hour after the meet is over. The team is glad to meet the administrators outside of the world of academia. Likewise, the administrators are glad to meet the team in an informal setting. Dr. Braun, who has heard a lot about Mr. Fraser, is happy to finally meet the coach who has sent him so much talent. Many of the professors and administrators at the university already know Dr. Zunde, as he formerly taught at the university before taking the position at the high school. But not everyone is as happy and bubbly as some are. Dean Grimsby now gets the distinct impression that he is an outsider of sorts. Previously unaware that Provost Layton was once a track star, the dean clearly embarrassed himself today. It is now obvious to Dean Grimsby that he might just have made a grave mistake in the way he treated Eddie. And to see Provost Layton warmly received by the team somehow bothers Dean Grimsby. From McCutcheon's perspective, he sees a circle of friendships and influence that has previously been invisible to him. For the first time, McCutcheon gets to formally meet the Northside High School coaching staff responsible for delivering blow after blow to his high school's team. McCutcheon is made aware of a few very close relationships that exist, highly suggestive of an inside circle. McCutcheon gets the distinct impression that all the money his father donates to the school might just take a back seat to the relationships that exist among many of the people present today. Leggett, likewise, gets his first real glimpse into the tribe's roots. Leggett now understands that, when he and McCutcheon broke into Eddie's and Mark's lockers, they were getting in way over their head. Leggett, for the first time, realizes his friendship with McCutcheon might be a serious problem. But Leggett's track career is over after today. Leggett is ready to receive his diploma and move on. During the meet, it was clear that Dr. Karakova and President Caldwell have known each other for a very long time. Hearing that Provost Layton and Mr. Fraser go way back certainly was a surprise to everyone. News to some is that Athena Layton was once President Caldwell's teaching assistant. Mrs. Fraser, who apparently knew Provost Layton very well at one time, completes a circle of friendship that few even knew existed. Before everyone heads out, Provost Layton mentions to Kathy, "Before we all leave, I'd really like to meet Edward. Do you see him around anywhere?" Kathy searches for Eddie among the crowd and does not find him. Kathy asks Mark, "Hey, Mark, have you seen Eddie?" Mark replies, "Not recently." Kathy then asks Paula, "Have you seen Eddie?" Paula replies, "The last time I saw him, he was talking with Mitchell." Now getting concerned, Kathy asks Mitchell, "Did you see Eddie after you guys were talking?" Mitchell explains, "After the meet, Eddie said, 'Here comes Dean Greaseball. I'm out of here.' Then he walked back toward the locker room, and I haven't seen him since." Hearing the news, a look of extreme disappointment comes over Provost Layton's face. Provost Layton really wanted to meet the guy who just ran an unquestionably qualifying time for the Olympics. Provost Layton tells Kathy, "I guess I'll just meet him another time." A tear rolls down Kathy's face as she breaks the news to Provost Layton, "Ed is not coming back." With a lot of conflicting information presented to her over the past week, Provost Layton asks, "What do you mean?" "I thought he reconsidered and rejoined the team." Kathy explains, "No. Eddie only ran today to prove a point to Dean Grimsby. He wanted to show Dean Grimsby that he doesn't need steroids to win. That's why Eddie said he would run, and only if Dean Grimsby was at the finish line. I know Eddie. He's not coming back." Kathy wipes the tears from her eyes and tells Provost Layton, "Well, it was so nice to meet you." As Kathy walks away, Provost Layton can clearly see that Kathy is very upset. Kathy joins her team as they head to the locker room, and Provost Layton realizes that all she has heard over the last few weeks is a more serious problem than she previously thought. Provost Layton has heard that, effective next year, Kathy has resigned from the team and requested that her scholarship be revoked. After McCutcheon and Leggett broke into Mark's locker and nothing was done about it, Mark and Paula have put in the same request. Provost Layton has also heard through the grapevine that Eddie never returned to the team, but his presence today suggested to her that he may have, in fact, reconsidered. Dean Grimsby, hearing that Eddie will be running in today's meet, has assured Provost Layton that everything has been worked out. Apparently, everything has been shoved under the carpet, and nothing has really been addressed. With so much conflicting information, Provost Layton wants all the confusion cleared up. Before Provost Layton heads out, she sternly tells Dean Grimsby, "Monday morning at 9 a.m. in my office. Do not forget." Not waiting for Dean Grimsby to respond, Provost Layton walks away with Dr. and Mrs. Karakova as they head to their cars. Dean Grimsby will be spending all day Sunday worrying about Monday morning. As he walks to his car, Dean Grimsby can only imagine what is transpiring in the conversation between Dr. Karakova and Provost Layton. When Kathy gets to the locker area, she sees Eddie sitting on a bench with his gym bag in the hallway. Eddie stands up and gives Kathy a hug. Eddie tells her, "I didn't think you guys would be out there for that long." Kathy tells Eddie, "Provost Layton was looking for you. She wanted to meet you." Eddie asks, "What's a provost?" Kathy tells him, "She's like Dean Grimsby's boss or something." Explaining his absence, Eddie replies, "I didn't want to hear it from Grimsby. I've had enough of that asshole. When I saw him walking over, I just left." Kathy agrees, telling Eddie, "I can't say that I blame you." Kathy and Eddie talk for a few minutes longer, then Kathy tells him, "Let me change. I'll be quick." After the meet, many of the team members head out to the pizzeria for dinner. On the way, Eddie tells Kathy, "I thought you said that there wasn't a Mr. Crumb at the university." Kathy replies, "I thought we didn't have one. I didn't even know that Dean Grimsby existed until he came to practice when Dr. Braun announced the events last fall." Eddie replies, "Yeah. Well, I don't know who's worse, Dean Grimsby or Mr. Crumb." Changing the subject a little bit, Kathy brings up, "Provost Layton almost made the Olympics. She knows Mr. Fraser from way back. They were at the Olympic tryouts together a long time ago. And Mr. Fraser's wife, Dawn, also knows Provost Layton from somewhere." Eddie replies, "Wow. It's a small world." Seeing that Eddie is not as happy as he should be after having such a good meet, Kathy asks, "Do you want to hear something funny?" Eddie replies, "Sure." Kathy tells the story, "When Mr. Fraser and Provost Layton were trying out for the Olympics, Mr. Fraser told her, 'Athena, it's simple. All you have to do is put one foot in front of the other faster than the other girl.' So then, Provost Layton told him, 'I did. But her legs are a lot longer than mine.'" Eddie laughs and tells Kathy, "That is kind of funny. I can definitely hear Mr. Fraser saying that." When they arrive at the pizzeria, Kathy and Eddie are among the last to arrive. Braden yells out, "Yo, bro. We were wondering where you were." Eddie replies, "I'm here. We wouldn't miss the pizza. I don't know why they just don't serve it at the finish line." Paula comments, "That would certainly make everyone run a lot faster." Looking around the tables, Eddie sees the whole tribe, including Amber sitting with Mitchell. Many of the other team members are also present. As Eddie and Kathy walk to their seat, Mark gives Eddie a high five. Before Eddie takes a seat, he points to McCutcheon and Leggett and firmly tells them, "You two. Get out of here." McCutcheon and Leggett remain seated, prompting Eddie to respond, "Did you hear me? I said, get out of here." Braden tells McCutcheon and Leggett, "You heard him. You'd both better get your fat asses out of here." McCutcheon tells Eddie, "We don't have to leave." Mark tells McCutcheon, "Yeah, and we don't have to sit with you. So, you heard Eddie. Get out of here." Following inaction by McCutcheon and Leggett, Braden adds, "And if someone decides to kick your ass, we don't have to stop them either." Braden then tells Bobby B, "I hope you're ready. We might just be carrying their asses out of here like we did over the summer." Bobby B replies, "If I have to carry their ass out, I'm dumping them in the trash bin." Liking Bobby B's suggestion, Braden stands up and suggests to Bobby B, "Well, then it sounds like to me that it's time to take out the trash." Bobby B follows suit and stands up. Fearing what is about to happen, McCutcheon and Leggett, knowing they will never win this one, quickly leave. Bobby B and Braden follow them out to the parking lot, making sure they drive away without damaging anyone's vehicles. Now that McCutcheon and Leggett are gone, Eddie and Kathy take a seat. The damper hanging over the group is now gone since Eddie has disposed of the two clowns. Everyone can clearly see the energy of the group change in a very positive way. Joe comes over to take their order, checking out everyone's medals as he goes around the table. Joe sees some of the newer faces from the university, and many of whom have been coming in for pizza since the tribe started the tradition a few years ago. After dinner, everyone heads home. On their way home, Kathy and Eddie stop by Kathy's parents' house, just to say hello. Kathy's father takes a moment to again admire the 3 gold medals draped around Kathy's neck and the 5 gold medals draped around Eddie's neck. Eddie then takes a moment to go into the backyard and check the pool water, making sure there are no dead frogs in the skimmers and that the water chemistry is just right. While Eddie is in the backyard, Kathy's father tells her, "You know, Athena was very impressed with both of your performances today." Kathy tells him, "She seemed really nice. I really liked her story about her and Mr. Fraser at the Olympic trials. It seems like they were really good friends back then." Kathy's father tells her, "I never knew that about her. Athena is a very private person. She doesn't usually share stories like that with anyone." Kathy mentions, "Mr. Fraser must have broken her out of her shell. When the two of them met, they both seemed really happy. And so was Mr. Fraser's wife." Kathy's father agrees, telling Kathy, "I think we all saw that." Kathy's father confides in her, "You do realize that Athena is very upset at what happened with Eddie and the fact that you're not returning next year." Kathy frankly tells him, "Let her be upset. She should be. Eddie had to deal with all of Mr. Crumb's shit for 4 years. He's just not putting up with anyone's crap anymore." Kathy's father tells her, "I can't say that I blame him. I can tell you, however, that Athena plans to meet with you and Eddie." Kathy tells her father, "Eddie emptied out his locker today after the meet. He's not coming back to the university. That's going to make it really hard for Athena to meet with him." Eddie walks in, announcing, "Someone's been taking really good care of the pool." Kathy's father replies, "Thank you. And thank you guys again for replacing the sand in the filter the other week." Eddie replies, "No problem." When Kathy's parents found out that the pool guy wasn't doing his job properly years ago, it was difficult to determine whether he replaced the sand in the filter when he claimed he did. Since Eddie and Kathy replaced the sand in their pool filter this year, they also decided to change the sand in Kathy's parents' pool filter as well. Kathy's mother asks, "Would you guys like dessert?" Kathy replies, "No, not really. We're kind of full from dinner." Kathy's mother tells Kathy, "I made chocolate mousse." Quickly changing her mind, Kathy exclaims, "Sure. I'll have a little." Ever since Kathy and Eddie's honeymoon cruise, chocolate mousse has become Kathy's favorite dessert. Eddie, Kathy, and her parents sit and have dessert, catching up on life. After dessert, Kathy and Eddie head home, stopping by the grocery store on the way to get the ingredients for chocolate mousse. Monday morning, at 9 a.m., Dean Grimsby has been sitting outside Provost Layton's office for 15 minutes. Checking his watch every so often, Dean Grimsby is becoming optimistic that his meeting with Provost Layton has been cancelled. At 9:12 a.m., Provost Layton finally opens her door and invites Dean Grimsby in. Already sitting in Provost Layton's office is President Caldwell, who apparently has been speaking with the Provost for a while. Provost Layton opens the meeting by telling Dean Grimsby, "I'm sure you enjoyed the track meet on Saturday, Dean Grimsby." "I can tell you, for sure, that I certainly did." Dean Grimsby replies, "It was very enlightening." President Caldwell mentions, "I certainly enjoyed it. I had no idea that our track team is so awesome." Provost Layton comments, "Awesome is certainly the word for it. Kathy broke my university record in the 100-yard dash, and Paula broke my record in the 220-yard dash. The truth is that, during the meet, Dean Grimsby wasn't paying one bit of attention to the action on the track. As students often daydream in class, the dean was daydreaming during the meet, waiting for the proverbial bell to ring so he can get out of there. Clearly distracted by some other issue running around in his head, the dean pretended to be very agreeable to everything that was said by his peers. Using the philosophy of fake it till you make it, Dean Grimsby may have faked it, but he certainly didn't make it. After greeting Dean Grimsby, Provost Layton moves on to the prelude to her agenda and asks the dean, "I'm just curious. Do you have any idea what you were witnessing, for example, when Edward Boganskaya ran the 100-yard dash in 9.11 seconds, and Mark Svoboda ran it in 9.17 seconds? Dean Grimsby, knowing that he paid little attention at the meet, replies, "They must have been good times. They won." Provost Layton then asks, "How about Kathy's time of 10.51 seconds? And Paula's time of 10.67 seconds in the 100-yard dash?" Dean Grimsby replies, "Well, their times don't sound quite as good." Provost Layton repeats the dean's assessment, saying, "They don't sound quite as good. I see." Referring to her notes, Provost Layton asks the dean, "And how about Axel Braden's performance in the 440-yard dash, running it in 44.93 seconds? Dean Grimsby simply replies, "I suppose that was a good time. He won too, didn't he?" Provost Layton, somewhat disgusted with the dean's ignorance, explains, "Yes. He won. With a time of 44.93 seconds, 43 hundredths of a second, less than a half second, off the world record, he won." Provost Layton quickly realizes that Dean Grimsby is in the dark. Giving the dean a quick education on what he saw this weekend, Provost Layton asks him, "What would you say if I told you that any of those times that I just quoted are qualifying times for the Olympics?" Quite shocked and expressing some emotion, Dean Grimsby orates, "Well, I had no idea they were that good." But the dean's emotion is obviously quite fake. Provost Layton then asks Dean Grimsby, "Do you understand why you are here today?" In the hot seat, Dean Grimsby replies, "I'm sure this has something to do with Edward Boganskaya, but I can assure you, I've fully exonerated Edward." Provost Layton answers the dean, "Yes, you've fully exonerated Edward. You've fully exonerated Edward from charges that should never have been brought against him without a full investigation. And the investigation revealed that no charges were ever warranted." Defending himself, Dean Grimsby explains, "I've informed Edward, who did not even see it fit to attend his own hearing, that he was welcome back to the university, and that he is still on the track team." Provost Layton quickly realizes that Dean Grimsby is attempting to defend the indefensible. Provost Layton tells Dean Grimsby in no uncertain terms, "I have a problem. Regardless of your edicts, Edward is not returning next year. I checked with the athletic office this morning. Katerina, Mark, and Paula will not be returning next year either. They have all requested that their athletic scholarships be terminated." Dean Grimsby comments, "I'm very sorry to hear that." Provost Layton explains, "They are not returning, sir, strictly because of your malfeasance in handling Edward's case. That is quite a problem, wouldn't you think?" Silence falls over the room, as Dean Grimsby is at a loss as to how to respond. Breaking the silence, Provost Layton explains, "I have spoken with Coach Braun, who tells me that, during Edward's hearing, he personally charged you with the task of getting Edward back on the team." Dean Grimsby interrupts and interjects, "Yes, he did. But, with all due respect, I do not report to the coach." Provost Layton replies, "Yes, I fully understand that. But you report to me, and now I'm charging you with the task of getting not only Edward, but Mark, Katerina, and Paula back on the team. And, for the record, I strongly suggest that you do not fail at doing so." Dean Grimsby, with a monumental task ahead of him, replies, "I understand." Moving on to the next topic of the day, President Caldwell tells Dean Grimsby, "Addison, the reason I am here today is to gain an understanding into why Todd McCutcheon and Steve Liggett are still enrolled in this university. The offences they have committed cannot only lead to criminal charges, but are clearly grounds for expulsion." Justifying his actions, Dean Grimsby replies, "I'm sure, President Caldwell and Provost Layton, you are both aware of how much money Scott McCutcheon, Sr., donates to this school. I have put both Steve Liggett and Todd McCutcheon on disciplinary probation and left their eligibility to participate on the track team up to the athletic department." President Caldwell replies, "I see." Reviewing his notes as he is speaking, President Caldwell continues, "I understand from the campus police department that Steve Liggett was in possession of lock-picking tools. Steve Liggett and Todd McCutcheon were in possession of marijuana when the campus police department caught them. Steve Liggett and Todd McCutcheon were in possession of anabolic steroids and were caught in an attempt to place them in another athlete's locker. Todd McCutcheon tested positive for anabolic steroids. And what else do we have here? Oh yes. The investigation revealed that Todd McCutcheon planted the same steroids in Edward Boganskaya's locker, evidenced by the same lot number and manufacturing date." Dean Grimsby agrees, stating, "Those are some very serious charges." Dean Grimsby has little choice but to agree. He is stuck between a rock and a hard place. President Caldwell then tells Dean Grimsby, "Addison, the amount of money that Mr. McCutcheon donates to this university is a drop in the bucket compared to the notoriety Todd McCutcheon and Steve Liggett have brought to the track team and this institution. Not to mention, the potential of having several Olympiads attending this university will certainly bring positive attention to the university that money cannot buy." Dean Grimsby replies, "I can fully understand that, sir. There is not much more the dean can say." The dean's actions taken in the case against Eddie were not exactly well thought out. And his lack of action against McCutcheon and Leggett is indefensible. Getting right to the point, President Caldwell instructs Dean Grimsby, "By the end of the day, I want Todd McCutcheon and Steve Liggett expelled from this university. And please make sure the paperwork regarding their expulsion is in order and that there is nothing overlooked. I don't want to have to deal with them getting readmitted to this university because of some technicality or because of a form that was improperly filed. As for their grades, they are both to receive the grade of incomplete for any course in which they are enrolled. Am I clear?" Dean Grimsby replies, "Yes, sir." Dean Grimsby informs President Caldwell, "I'm sure you realize that Steve Liggett is supposed to graduate in a few weeks." President Caldwell informs the dean, "I am well aware of that fact. Steve Liggett will spend the entire next year filing appeals and filling out paperwork. He might eventually receive his degree, but I believe his expulsion might teach him a good lesson. In the meantime, he can get a job as a locksmith and start paying back his student loans." With no choice in the matter, Dean Grimsby tells President Caldwell, "I'll get right on it, sir." Looking over her notepad, Provost Layton announces, "I believe we have covered everything on the agenda for today. So, to summarize today's meeting, first, Dean Grimsby will expel Todd McCutcheon and Steve Liggett, effective today. And second, Dean Grimsby is also charged with the task of getting Edward Boganskaya, Katerina Karakova Boganskaya, Mark Svoboda, and Paula Giovanni Svoboda back on the university's track team." Provost Layton adds, "And as for getting our four athletes back on the team, I, myself, will be doing everything I can to meet that goal." The meeting is adjourned, and Dean Grimsby has a monumental task ahead of him. Officer Braden and the rest of the campus police department has been informed of the university's decision to expel McCutcheon and Leggett. Word has quickly gotten around campus that McCutcheon and Leggett have been expelled. In light of McCutcheon's and Leggett's past behavior, the police department will be keeping them under surveillance for the remainder of the day and until they physically leave campus. Hearing the news from Braden between their classes, Kathy and Paula are ecstatic. By the end of the day, the entire track team learns of the fate of McCutcheon and Leggett, courtesy of Braden spreading the news. The news, however, doesn't matter too much to Kathy, Paula, or Mark. They, like Eddie, will not be returning next year. Quickly accomplishing part one of his assigned tasks, Dean Grimsby moves on to the second part. Dean Grimsby phones Eddie and, after a succinct greeting, tells him, "Edward, I have some news that I think you might be interested in." Eddie replies, "Really? I can't even imagine what that would be." The dean is being very cordial to Eddie, but not by choice. Eddie, with the upper hand, cares little about what the dean may have to say. Dean Grimsby relays, "Todd McCutcheon and Steve Leggett have been expelled from the university. If you would like to rejoin the track team, I can assure you that Todd and Steve won't ever be back." Eddie replies, "I tell you what. I'll come back when the university gets rid of you too." Eddie abruptly hangs up the phone, making Dean Grimsby's task much more difficult. After mulling over the situation for 15 minutes, Dean Grimsby phones Provost Layton. After delivering the good news that McCutcheon and Leggett have been expelled and hearing Eddie's response, the dean informs Provost Layton, "I'm not sure I'll be able to get Edward back on the team." Provost Layton asks, "Really? Just what is the insurmountable obstacle that is in your way?" Dean Grimsby replies, "I phoned Eddie. He has clearly indicated that he will not be returning to the university." Provost Layton informs the dean, "That's it. One phone call and you think you're done. It sounds to me that you'll have to try a lot harder." Provost Layton's response is not exactly what Dean Grimsby wanted to hear. For Dean Grimsby, it's on to Plan B. Unfortunately, the dean has no Plan B at the moment. Tuesday morning, Provost Layton stops by at the end of track practice to specifically speak with Kathy. Although the spring track season is officially over, the team still practices. Kathy, Paula, and Mark attend practice this week in the event that Eddie, in some way, returns to the team. Today, in the arena, everyone is timed in events they do not usually run during competition. The coaching staff often performs this ritual at the end of the academic year, and for good reasons. With some of the students graduating, such as Barbara, it's time to reevaluate everyone's skill set. The positions on the team vacated by graduating seniors must be filled by next year. As Kathy just finishes her 1 mile run, she sees Provost Layton speaking with Dr. Braun. Dr. Braun catches Kathy's eye and motions for her to come over. Walking over, Kathy asks, "What's up?" Dr. Braun informs Kathy, "Provost Layton would like to speak with you for a moment." Kathy replies, "Sure. What's up?" Provost Layton and Kathy walk outside, where Provost Layton explains, "I've charged Dean Grimsby with the task of getting you, Edward, Mark, and Paula back on the track team next year." Dean Grimsby phoned Edward yesterday in an attempt to get him to return to the team. Dean Grimsby informs me that he hit a brick wall. Kathy tells Provost Layton, "Dean Grimsby didn't hit a brick wall. Eddie told Dean Grimsby that he'll come back if the university gets rid of him too. That should be easy enough." Provost Layton pauses for a moment and replies, "Trust me, I can see Edward's point." For obvious reasons, Dean Grimsby did not relate Eddie's conditions of him returning to the team to Provost Layton. Taking a seat on a bench with Kathy, Provost Layton asks, "Let me ask you this. Is there any chance at all to get Edward back on the team?" Kathy explains, "I seriously doubt it. Eddie has said a few times that the university has nothing that he wants, but he has everything that you guys want. That's a pretty hard sell in anyone's book." Provost Layton confesses, "Well, that would certainly make it difficult." Formulating her own plan in her head, Provost Layton asks, What is Eddie doing now? Kathy explains, right now, he's working at Angelo's service station. When he's done, he's planning on going to pick up 3 more Dune buggy frames with Mark. Provost Layton asks, Dune buggy frames? Kathy replies, yeah. The 5 Dune buggies around campus, well, Eddie built those. One is mine. Paula, Braden, Johnson, and Bobby B. also have one. And so does Eddie's brother, but he's in high school. Provost Layton replies, I've seen them. They are really beautiful. A few of the administrators were wondering where all the Dune buggies suddenly came from. Provost Layton continues, stating, getting back to Eddie. If Eddie were to come back to the team, would you, Mark, and Paula also come back? Kathy replies, probably. Without Eddie, things just aren't the same. Just look at the 4x440 relay team, for example. Put in McCrutchen, and they'll lose every race. Eddie, and the rest of the guys, do not like to lose. They've been running together for years. Take away one member, and they go from winning to losing. How can that get them motivated? It can't. Provost Layton replies, I can definitely understand that. Provost Layton asks Kathy, do you mind if I speak with Eddie myself? Kathy replies, you can try. But don't be surprised if he doesn't want to talk. Kathy and Provost Layton have a nice conversation, but then Kathy has to get changed and go to class. Dean Grimsby has clearly gotten nowhere with Eddie and is not likely to. Realizing this, Provost Layton, taking things into her own hands, decides to take a trip to Angelo's service station. Angelo is, by far, the best mechanic around, and everyone knows exactly where his service station is. Driving into the station, Provost Layton walks into the office and is greeted by Angelo. Announcing her intent, Provost Layton asks Angelo, is Edward Boganskaya available? If he is, I'd like to speak with him for a moment, if I may. Angelo, wondering who the well-dressed woman driving a Jaguar is, asks, and who are you? Provost Layton replies, Athena Layton. Angelo tells her, I'll be right back. Please wait here. Angelo walks back to the shop and tells Eddie, there's someone here who wants to speak with you. She says her name is Athena Layton. Quickly recognizing the name, Eddie tells Angelo, tell her I'm busy. She's from the university, and I really don't want to talk to her right now. Actually, I don't really want to talk to her at all. Angelo asks, should I give her a hard boot or a soft boot? Eddie replies, soft. When Mr. Crumb drives into the service station, he gets the hard boot out of the station when he causes trouble. If it were Dean Grimsby, Eddie would tell Angelo to give him the hardest boot imaginable. Angelo walks back into the office and tells Provost Layton, he's in the middle of something right now. To be honest, unless it's a dire emergency, he doesn't really want to be interrupted. He's got to get this job done before he leaves today. Provost Layton responds, I fully understand. Do you know when he gets off work? Angelo replies, somewhere around 2, or when he gets whatever he's working on finished. We don't punch a time clock around here. Provost Layton gets into her car to leave, and with Eddie 20 feet away and inaccessible, finds her own brick wall. After Provost Layton is gone, Angelo asks Eddie, what was that all about? Eddie explains, she's from the university. Kathy said she's really nice. I wonder what she wanted. Angelo informs Eddie, she wanted to know what time you get out of here. Eddie tells Angelo, I guess she'll be back then. But I still don't want to talk to her. Eddie and Angelo get back to work, and Provost Layton heads back to the university, wondering what to do next. But unlike Dean Grimsby, Provost Layton will think of a plan B and a plan C if necessary. Later that afternoon, Eddie arrives home with Mark, and they unload the dune buggy frames off the trailer towed by Mark's Jeep. Kathy comes out to help. As they are unloading the dune buggy frames, Mark finally notices the front decorative plate on his Jeep that reads, "Drive defensively." Driver tank that Paula bought for him almost a year ago. Mark, wondering how long it's been there, asks Eddie and Kathy, "Hey, do you know where the plate came from that's on my front bumper?" Kathy walks to the front of Mark's Jeep and tells Mark, "Paula got that for you." Mark comments, "I wonder how long that's been there." Kathy smiles and replies, "Since the end of last summer." "Don't tell me you haven't noticed." Mark replies, "You ain't shitting me, are you?" Kathy replies, "I wish I were. But, yeah. It's been there since the end of last summer." As they are unloading the dune buggy frames, Kathy tells Eddie, "Provost Layton came and found me after track practice today. She wants you, me, Mark, and Paula back on the team." Eddie replies, "That's funny. She came by the service station and wanted to talk to me." Kathy asks, "Did you talk with her?" Eddie replies, "No. I just figured it would be another dose of Dean Grimsby. So, I told Angelo to get rid of her." Mark interjects, "At least McCrutchen is gone. That goal was accomplished." Kathy comments, "That's the best thing that ever happened to the team." Mark and Paula both wanted McCrutchen off the team, and with McCrutchen expelled, they got more than their wish. And the icing on the cake is that Steve Leggett is gone too. After unloading the dune buggy frames, Mark heads back home as Eddie and Kathy continue their conversation. Kathy tells Eddie, "You know, Provost Layton really isn't anything like Dean Grimsby." Eddie explains, "That's because she wants something. I'm sure that, underneath, she's just like the rest of them." Kathy replies, "You might be right. But maybe you should listen to what she has to say." Kathy has picked up that Provost Layton is not quite the autocrat that Dean Grimsby is. Eddie points out, "Where were Provost Layton, President Caldwell, and all these other people before the shit hit the fan? As long as everything is going their way, they sit back in their air-conditioned offices and collect their huge paychecks. And then, a loose cannon goes off, and they all come out of their offices to clean up the collateral damage. Their problem is Grimsby. If they get rid of him, I'll come back." Kathy tells Eddie, "I told her that. She actually said that she can see your point. I even think she thought that was funny. She really tried to hide her smile." As he is finishing up in the garage, Eddie then comes up with an alternative to the university getting rid of Dean Grimsby. As he is closing the garage door, Eddie tells Kathy, "Well, there is another way that I'll come back." Suddenly excited, Kathy asks, "Oh, yeah. What's that?" Eddie suggests, "Put Grimsby in the ring with Braden for 3 minutes. And I want a ringside seat." Kathy laughs and exclaims, "Dean Grimsby wouldn't last 30 seconds. You saw what happened to Goldshit." Eddie replies, "Well, at least now they have two options." When they get inside, Eddie comes up with yet another option. Eddie tells Kathy, "You know, I have a better plan." Kathy asks, "What's that?" Eddie explains, "What we do during practice is hard work. What makes an administrator think that, with a stroke of a pen, he can throw all of my work and training into the toilet? So, if they want me to come back, I will. But my one condition is that Dean Grimsby dragged the training sled on the sand track for 440 yards. And I want £50 on the sled. Then, that asshole might just understand the work we put into our training. And next time, he will think twice about pulling any of his shit." Kathy exclaims, "That's a great idea. If I see Provost Layton again, I'm going to tell her that's your condition." Eddie replies, "Oh, and I want to be there to watch him drag my training sled." Kathy now has a plan. Knowing Kathy, there's no doubt she'll be right on top of implementing Eddie's plan the next chance she gets. Dean Grimsby has no plan, simply because the problem can't be solved by pushing his pencil around. And Provost Layton is not likely to get anywhere with Eddie simply because Eddie won't let her.